Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives. Good morning, Las Vegas, and welcome to a very special Mother's Day edition of the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name is John Wood. I attend the church at Las Vegas, and I'll be sitting in for John Racine this week. This week, we dip into the Solid Rock archives and bring you a special Mother's Day broadcast featuring a message from Daryl Raymond. For those of you new to the broadcast, Daryl Raymond originated and hosted the Solid Rock Gospel broadcast for 35 years before turning the hosting duties over to John Racine. During the 1990s, it was my great pleasure to act as an engineer for the Solid Rock Gospel broadcast, which Brother Daryl did live every Sunday morning. Sitting across from him in the studio all those years, I knew this man was on fire for God. But I could not understand fully at the time the love he had for the Lord or the joy he had in telling everyone he met about the gospel of Jesus Christ. For me, that understanding would not come until a number of years later, and I thank Daryl for inviting me to join the family of God, and I thank God for sending Daryl to show me the way. Today's broadcast is from 2009, and I think you'll find this to be a no-punches-pulled message. There is also a special Mother's Day challenge in the second half of today's broadcast from Lucille Raymond, Daryl's wife, that we hope you will find in your heart to take advantage of and act upon. Happy Mother's Day, everyone.
And good morning, friends, and welcome again to another broadcast of the Solid Rock. This is Mother's Day 2009. How happy I am to greet each and every one of you, and especially you mothers listening in today. I want to talk to you about how to be a beautiful wife and mother. You know, a happy home is a dream of all, but unfortunately, the dream is not really in many, many instances. Why is it that the divorce rate continues to soar? Why is it that the family is not unified and harmonious? Weddings are always accompanied with smiles, hilarity, and happy well-wishers, yet in a few years, sometimes only in weeks or months, it's marked with harsh actions, hate, and animosity. Why is that? My personal feeling, as an observant and as a minister of the gospel of Christ, is that families have violated God's established order. Husbands and wives have tried exchanging roles. Parents have abandoned responsibilities, and children have actually taken over the reins, and it's just not working. That's what I believe about it. Juvenile delinquency is growing to the extent that more than a half of all crimes in this country are committed and done by young people. Families are dissolving in America, and America as a nation is suffering. The society is embroiled over issues such as abortion and AIDS and homosexuality and same-sex marriages and immorality and incest, women's rights, children's rights. Friend, the heart of all these issues is God's order and laws and precepts for the home and family. Yes, God established the home. God has given detailed instruction for the home. God's order is a husband has a role of leadership. The wife is the role of a helper, and the children are the role of a trainee in the art of living. I am convinced that the only answer to the many and multiplex problems and weariness to our nation is return to God's standard for the family. Social reforms, legislation to legalize that which is morally wrong, putting down of the old-fashioned family concept will get our nation nowhere but to ruin. As goes the family, so goes the nation. This morning, I want to say that the wife and mother is a very vital part to a happy home and family. She plays a definite key role. I want to talk to you about four words that describe the beautiful, happy wife and mother. Let's read over here in 1 Peter, the third chapter, starting with verse 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may without the word be won by the conversation or manner of life of the wife. While they behold your chaste manner of life coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, or the wearing of gold, or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Yes, the very first thing is submission. That's the first key word that we want to examine here. In Colossians, the third chapter, we find an interesting passage of Scripture, the third chapter, verse 18. It says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. This is not a popular concept. In our modern 21st century society, it's just not very popular at all. Some say, well, this makes the woman inferior to man. Friend, if that were true, then children are inferior to parents. Do you believe that? It's simply not true. It's just as false as if you had a $3 bill and tried to pass it for a $5 bill. Others say, well, it's unfair. Marriage and family is a democracy. You really believe that, friend? Do you really believe that? If marriage was a democracy, if that were a true concept, then children can control all the decisions in the family. Just have a lot of kids. Let's take a vote, kids. What would you like? Would you like us to move to California, or do you want us to move to New York City? And mom and dad says, well, we better move to California. And all the kids say, no, New York City. Friend, it says that, okay, but that was the first century. Others say that these scriptures you've read are the first century. But you know what? The Bible is the Bible. And I believe the Bible is for all time. The Bible says so. I believe it. That settles it. Over here in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, notice what it says in verse 23 and 24. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, listen to this, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, what are you going to do with that? Verse 22, it says, wives, submit your wives submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Why does God demand submission from the wife? It's God's plan. It was the order of creation. Read 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 8 and 9. You'll find the same thing. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verse 8 and 9. Man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Verse 9, neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Isn't that something? Notice verse 3, just backing up there, the 11th chapter, verse 3, I'd have you to know the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Same thing, all the way through. God ordained the husband's authority. Some women's personality traits find this hard, assertive, and they're independent. Nevertheless, that's what the Bible says. If it's in the Bible, friend, we either got to believe it or just forget the whole thing. Let me also add this, that there is nothing more beautiful than the submissive wife and mother who conducts herself according to God's word. She does not stifle her own personality or creativity. Rather, she fulfills it according to God's will. Ladies and wives listening in today, and mothers, if you find this to be a little bit too confining, if you sort of cringe and balk at the idea that you're to be in submission to your husband, you really need to learn to trust God. You need to trust God in a deeper way. Realize that God's way is the best way. Let's go to another word here. Not only submission, but the word service. Over in, Proverbs. Proverbs the 31st chapter, verse 13 to 21. Lucille, why don't you come over here and read that for us this morning? This is sort of off the cuff, but that's all right. Read starting at verse 13 and go down to 21.
She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet.
Thank you, honey, for reading that portion of scripture. That's found in Proverbs, the 31st chapter, and verse 13 through 21. In this portion that my wife has just read, Solomon describes a godly wife, a godly woman, a godly mother. A description of one whose life is spent in loving, faithful, willing service. Service. Note who she serves. She serves her husband. She serves the children. She serves the poor and the needy. And she even serves her servants. Oh, what a message about her love. In Matthew, the 20th chapter, verse 20th chapter, verse 26, starting. It says, it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister or servant. Whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give himself a life, give his life a ransom for many. Yes, this godly woman this godly wife, this godly mother, is following the example of Jesus Christ. And I tell you, there's no higher calling than that. The voices that are heard throughout our nation calls for women to assert themselves, that the woman who gives herself to service to her household and family is a second-class citizen. Oh, nothing could be farther from the truth. They think that she's an underling who never quite makes it to the top. Oh, dear friend, by inspiration, God's word says she is a worthy woman, that her price is far above rubies. Have you checked out the price of rubies lately? Check it out. Go down to the jewelry store and find out what it says. She's anything but second class. The godly woman, the godly mother, the godly wife is a first class individual. A husband and children in this text here in Proverbs, the 31st chapter, verse 28, 29, and 30, it says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Dear woman today, dear women listening in, hear me. Your service of love to your family is your highest calling. No career, no hobby, no occupation, no job outside the home more fulfills God's purpose for a wife and a mother. Abraham Lincoln of old said, all I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Right now we're going to hear our first song that's titled Precious Memories. It's sung for us by the Statler Brothers Male Quartet. Let's hear him sing.
Precious memories, how they linger.
beautiful song, Precious Memories. I love it. So the first word was submission, the second word was service, the third word, and trait, for mothers and wives today, is closely related to service. And that's the word sacrifice. Real service demands sacrifice. The worthy woman, the godly woman in Proverbs, the 31st chapter that Lucille read just a few months ago, is called the worthy woman. She sacrifices sleep, time, money, her own strength to meet the needs of her family. Listen, every position in the happy home and family calls for submission, service, and sacrifice. But perhaps no position demands so much sacrifice as that of a godly woman and a godly mother. From the painful experience of childbearing onward, the wife of a mother is one of sacrifice. There is not a mother that's worth her salt that does not know and cherish nights of sacrifice. When sleep, she sacrifices sleep for a sick and a crying baby or child. Mothers sacrifice their time and their strength, even their own health, for their family. The wife and mother sacrifice to make their home attractive, to cook, to do the laundry, bake, care for the personal needs of the family. This is a satisfying life. But the last and final word I want to talk to you about is the word security. This final word is the outgrowth of the previous words of submission, service, and sacrifice. There is no sense of security quite like that of a godly woman whose husband and children rise up and call her blessed. No sense of security quite like that of the godly wife who is secure in the knowledge that she is loved by her husband. No sense of security is quite like that wife and mother who knows she fulfills God's will for her life. She is secure in the love and the fellowship of her home. Beautiful, happy wives and mothers. Do you know women like that? I'm sure you do. There are faces radiant with an inner glow. They are a testimony to the wisdom of God's plan and pattern. Their deep security can be sensed by those around them. Their spiritual security, they also know. And they know and experience the emotional security of a right relationship with their husband. I've known women like that. I recall my own mother. I lived with her for 53 years before she passed away, and when I was old enough to understand who she was. And my wife, I've lived with her for 58 years. Oh, dear friend, how wonderful to have the knowledge of a mother and a wife that loved God. Right now, I'm going to let you talk to her. I'm going to have a mother talk to you, and that's my wife. Lucille, it's good to have you with us this morning.
It's good to be here. And happy Mother's Day to all of you out there. We know that it's a great day for you.
Praise God.
And we know that you've put in a lot of years with your family and you've sacrificed a lot. And I just wanted to say that, you know, we've been studying the Book of Timothy at church in the adult Bible class. And we've learned how that Timothy was who he was and had become what he was and his faith because his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice passed that down to him through the generations. And it's very important for us to realize what an influence we have on our children and our grandchildren and to other people's children around us at all times, that we need to be the kind of people that they could look at us as an example and could pattern their lives after us. I think of Mary, what a wonderful thing that God saw, chose her. She was favored to be the mother of Jesus, our Savior. But there was another mother at that time who was proud also of her baby and her child. And they, Jesus and this person had become friends, and they had spent many years and time together at a common goal. But the second mother's baby chose to betray the first mother's baby. And that second mother was Judas Iscariot's mother. And so there's quite a difference in the feeling and the pride of Mary, or the disappointment and the heartache that Judas' mother must have felt if she was still alive when he broke and betrayed that friendship. So today, if your mother's alive, please contact her and greet her. And I'd like to ask you to reach out today maybe to one mother who is disappointed, who is heartbroken, and feels bad because her family has deserted her. And so that's my challenge to you today, and try to live so that we can match this woman that we read about in Proverbs 31. That's my goal, and I hope it's your goal to be a godly woman. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucille, for those good words this morning. Right now we're going to hear another song. This song is a great song, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. We're going to dedicate it to a wife, a mother, and a grandmother. Gail Barton, are you listening? Oh, I'll tell you. This is one of her favorite gospel songs. And let's hear the McGuire sisters sing for her this morning, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Here they are. Just a Closer Walk with Thee, sung for us by the McGuire sisters. Well, friend, our time is all gone this morning. Happy Mother's Day again to all of you listening in, and especially to your mothers. Till next week, dear friends, keep standing on the solid rock.